We now bring to these microphones David James. He's a regular broadcast partner here with us on Prophecy Today. We always have a conversation looking at issues that the body of Christ need to have a better understanding about. We go to the Word of God after talking about what is happening in some part of the world with some particular issue. Well, we're going to be just a bit different, but it's, I believe, right on track as we talk about Bible prophecy and, in fact, how we come to a conclusion on how Bible prophecy is going to be played out in the end times and, in fact, how, indeed, we see the prophetic scenarios found in God's Word coming together better in focus towards fulfillment of those issues that were predicted by the ancient Jewish prophets. Dave normally travels all around this world internationally, but doing ministry this weekend up in the area of the New England states here in the United States. And David, tell me where you are and what's your ministry for this weekend.
Hi, Jimmy. Good to be with you again. Yeah, I'm up in New Hampshire, in central New Hampshire, South Central, and I've been invited to do a series at a state prison. It's a prison with about a population of about 2,500. This is an annual conference sponsored by a local church where I'm at. There'll be about 80 in attendance at the conference. The prison actually limits the number of guys who can come. I'm going to be studying the issue of how to understand the Bible, and so it's a great opportunity.
Well, indeed it is, and in fact it does fit into our theme here on Prophecy Today. You need to be studying the Bible correctly to understand Bible prophecy. Now, David, let me just ask this question. You're not in prison, but you're going into the prison to teach. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's true. I've been trying to be nice to the pastor here, though, so he doesn't leave me in place.
This is not your first time of teaching in a prison, is it?
No, it's my first time up here in this area, but I taught 4 semesters for Grace College in a prison near home. It was just a great opportunity. You know, a lot of these guys actually come to Christ in prison, or they get their lives back on track after they had walked away from the Lord or got involved in some trouble. Some of the guys I taught, they're actually never getting out. And so their entire Christian life is spent growing in Christ in the prison or maturing. And then also a lot of these guys actually have a ministry to other inmates in the prison. So it's a tremendous opportunity.
Yes, it is. Very important to learn how to study the Bible for ourselves, not only for those prisoners to have this great, unique opportunity to learn from you, but all of us need to do that. Talk to us about that and let everybody eavesdropping understand better how to approach their study of the Bible.
Well, first, it is important that we learn to study the Bible for ourselves. You know, one of the things I tell my students is that we'll never be held accountable for what somebody else says. And so if we're depending upon somebody else and we repeat those words, if it's a bad interpretation, a false interpretation, and then we repeat it, then we're going to be held accountable for our words. We won't be able to hand it off and say, well, this is what they said. And so it's important that we come to the scriptures wanting to understand and determined to understand to figure out the meaning for ourselves.
Well, you and I both have been studying the Word of God for a number of years. We've had some great teachers over the years. We've read a lot of books written by some of these great teachers, helping us to know how to study the Bible, and books, actually, simple commentaries on the books of the Bible we may be studying. Let me ask this, how much can we rely on what others say about the Bible?
The scriptures do say that the Lord gave pastors and teachers and evangelists for the building up of the body of Christ. So there is that role, and a very, very important role for those who go deep into the Word of God and then teach us. But on the other hand, we also have, like I said, a responsibility for ourselves. So I think I'm at the point in my own personal study and ministry that actually what others say is probably about the last thing that I go to. I go through passages and work them out for myself, and then I check to see what others are saying, to see if I need to adjust what I'm saying, if there are other opinions and other views. But ultimately, you know, we take responsibility for ourselves.
David, as a Bible teacher yourself, what do you want others, those that you're teaching, what do you want them to take away from what you're teaching them?
Well, that's a good question. There are a couple of things. One is, I tell my students that when you're teaching the Bible, you're not just teaching the material, but you're also teaching how to study the material, and you're teaching how to teach the material by your example. And so as far as what I teach, I really want it to be a starting place for the students, not the end place. And so it gives them ideas, helps them to maybe gain some insights that they didn't see for themselves. And, you know, what I say is not the final word. They need to check out what I say to make sure that I'm accurate. In fact, I want to be open to people to correct me, even my students, if they see something in the Word of God that's more consistent with a different understanding. So I want them to take that away, that they can go and study for themselves. And that's one of the focuses of my Bible teaching. I always try to model how to understand the text for yourself, even when I'm teaching.
That's one of the plans that I have, and I'm teaching as well in our School of Prophets. And if I'm grading a test paper and somebody says, well, Dr. DeYoung says this, I don't care what Dr. DeYoung says. What do you get from the passage? That's key. That's most important. So I agree with you there on that thought. Now, as you start to study a passage, what's the first things you do with it?
Well, the very, very first thing is I read the passage, and sometimes it's just a verse, but I don't read it in isolation. I read it in context, which means I read the paragraphs before, paragraphs after, sometimes an entire book, even before I would teach on one passage, especially if it's a shorter book. Before I would teach, for example, a passage from 1 Timothy, I would go through probably not only 1 Timothy, but also 2 Timothy and Titus to make sure that I understand the thinking of Paul in this particular passage. So becoming very familiar with the passage in the context is where I start.
And then what's the most important thing to look for in that particular passage?
Well, you know, there's the sort of a popular idea that unfortunately is even promoted by some Bible teachers, and that's answering the question, what does this passage mean to me? And that's really the wrong question. The right question is, what does this passage mean to God? And then my task is to figure that out. And then God used a human author, so the human author also had a purpose and an intention in what he was trying to accomplish and teach through that passage. So the most important thing to look for is what God means in the passage and what the human author means in the passage. Then the question is not, what does it mean to me? It's, what does it mean to God, and what does it mean for me? And by that I mean application. In other words, what do I do with this meaning that I understand that God has for this passage?
That is a great, great point. So many people, we're egotistical in Christianity today. How does this enhance my capabilities of living in this life? No, what is God saying, and how can I then appropriate it for my life? I know, and I'm thrilled with what the passage says there in John 16, where Jesus said, I'm going to send a comforter. I'm going to send the Spirit of Truth back to you, and he's going to help you study, and in particular, he says, things to come, Bible prophecy. But that means the Holy Spirit has a part in our Bible study. And does prayer not also with the Holy Spirit play a key role in our study of any passage of Scripture?
It absolutely does. You know, prayer concerning Bible study is not asking God directly for a meaning of a passage, or it's not asking God what I should preach on. Rather, it's submitting my heart and mind to the Lord and His Word so that I am ready to understand and accept what the passage means for me. And then as far as the Holy Spirit is concerned, in 1 Corinthians 2:14, we read that the natural man doesn't receive or understand, doesn't accept the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness to him. But in the context there, again, going back to context, we understand that the natural man could be both a person who is not a believer, but it could also be a person who is a believer but who is not accepting the truth of God's Word, and so it's not playing out in their lives. The Holy Spirit's work, then, is to persuade us to act upon what we see, and also to understand what this application is and what the implications are for me. You know, there are even unbelievers who are Bible scholars who can tell you exactly what the technical and actually true meaning of the text is. For example, the first chapters of Genesis, they will tell you, even unbelieving scholars, that Moses intended to convey that it was a six-day, 24-hour, literal six-day creation. But then you have Bible teachers who are actually believers who will say, yes, that's true, but I don't believe that. So in that case, they're cutting themselves off from the work of the Holy Spirit to persuade them of the truth in that. And so the Holy Spirit enlightens our hearts and minds to grasp these truths as literally true.
David, as you well know, this broadcast is focused on current events in light of biblical prophecy. And in order to understand current events, we need to study the prophetic scenario found in God's Word. So let's bring this discussion around to how to approach a study of Bible prophecy. Now, I know there are some people, and this really concerns me, who will look at a prophetic passage differently than they look at the rest of the Bible. Talk to us about applying your study habits and your approach to studying the Bible to actually studying Bible prophecy.
Well, that's also a great question. You know, some people do treat prophetic passages differently, but what we need to understand is the same process of inspiration, the same author, God, gave all of the passages of Scripture, and so we should approach them all in the same manner. It doesn't mean that the truths aren't conveyed in somewhat different ways at certain times, especially with figurative and symbolic language, but there's always a literal truth behind that. It's not some hidden truth or some hidden meaning. It's something that's in the text that can be understood. So we come to the prophetic passages exactly like we would come to the words of Jesus, whether he's talking about prophetic issues or not, or any other passage of Scripture. We come to it the same way, use the same principles that we would apply, whether it's to historical literature or poetic literature, wisdom literature, the Gospels, Paul's letters. We take those same principles and apply them the same way. And when we do that, what we find is that all the passages that prophesied events in the past, all were fulfilled literally. They might not have always seen it ahead of time exactly how it would be fulfilled literally, but they were. That means that we can be sure that in the future, other passages that have not yet been fulfilled, those too will be fulfilled literally.
We must take the entire Bible from Genesis 1:1, Revelation 22:21, and look at it literally and translate it that way, and then appropriate from the passages of Scripture what God has for us to apply to our lives. What a great conversation with David James here on Prophecy Today. Remember, David James Reports is on our website, prophecytoday.com. Scroll down the right-hand side of the home page. You'll get it. Other issues we've discussed in the past are available there as well. And if you'll join us again next week, we'll have another issue to discuss with David. David, thank you so much. God bless you in your ministry there in the prison. Hope they let you out, and we'll be talking to you again next week.
Thanks. If I'm out, we'll have another discussion.